I want you to raise your hand if you've had the Lord perform a miracle in your life. Raise your hand. Now, anybody that doesn't have their hand up, take a deep breath and let it out. That's a miracle. The Lord has given you life, and that is His miracle. Pray with me tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the sweet and precious name of Jesus, Lord. We come to You in the name of our Redeemer, the One who loved us, the One who saw us in ages past, Lord, and put a circle around us and said, I want Him. I want that One. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for seeing us in ages past. Lord, I don't know what You saw. Lord, there's nothing good in any one of these vessels aside from the life of Christ that You've placed in us, Lord. So we give You praise, Lord, because for whatever reason, we know it's only love that You caused our hearts to be drawn unto You, Lord, and to be submitted to You, Lord, and that You humbled Yourself, Lord, died the death of a cross, Lord, that You might put that life in us. We thank You for it. Anoint this time, Lord. We pray that You would just have Your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought that the Lord had in my heart for this evening, our text will be in Luke chapter 19. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. And it was a while back that the Lord attracted me to this scripture. And the thought tonight is the time of visitation. In Luke chapter 19, in verse 41, we'll read through verse 44. It says, and when He, being Jesus, was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and shall compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And thou, they shall not leave one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And this is the thought this evening, the time of visitation. Now, as humans, we are all constrained by this concept of time. It's very important for us to know what time it is, naturally speaking. It's very important for us to know for things like work or school. You don't want to be late. You want to know what time it is. It's very important to be aware of the time, the present time. And this is also applicable in the spiritual. In the spiritual realm, it's very important to know the day in which we live and what time it is spiritually. As we read here, Jesus talked to these people, he was weeping that destruction was coming upon them because they didn't know the time of their visitation. And so we find in our day, many people are mixed up. They don't know what time it is spiritually. They don't know the day in which we're living. Many people think that we're living in the kingdom age, that this is the time for a great revival. But we know, as we search the Word of God, as we look at the Word of God as our spiritual clock, we find that this is not the case. We know that we are living in the grace age. And we also know that this time is coming to a close, that we're very near to the time of the return of Jesus Christ. So this is not the time for a mass salvation, but a time for the Lord to perfect His bride for His Son. In Acts 15:14, we read, God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And that's the day in which we live. The Lord is visiting the Gentiles to take from that people a people for His name. And in Ephesians 5:31-32, we read, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is the time that Paul's mystery is revealed to us, that the Lord would have for us a bridal relationship with Jesus Christ.
In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, we read, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." This is the time. The Lord is preparing that bride. Romans 8 and verse 17 reads, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." This is a very special time for us, a time of preparation for Christ's bride. So just as we read in this scripture, Luke 19:44, this time that Jesus was speaking of, this was the time of visitation to the Jews. At this time, their Savior was with them. And there were people at that time who knew and were looking for Jesus Christ. And they were expecting this. They knew what time it was. And in our day, there's a small company of people who know what this time and what this age is about. This is the time of our visitation, just as in this day it was their time of visitation. So I would ask us, who is visiting us now? Well, we know as we read and as we've heard many speakers say, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is visiting us now. Just as we know from Genesis chapter 24, as a bride was sought for Isaac, Eliezer was sent into his father's country to find a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. And just like this is just like how the God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit into our age now to find a bride for Christ. So we find the Holy Spirit is the one that's visiting us now. In John 14:26, we read, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," Jesus speaking, "he shall teach you things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." We've heard a lot of people, a lot of speakers talk this week about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We've heard testimony of people being filled. We know from the Word of God it's so important to our lives to be filled with the Holy Spirit because he is the agent that reveals God's truth to us in a personal way. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that the Holy Spirit will, as this verse says, teach us all things. I have a nephew, and Pastor Jesse preached a sermon about the infilling of the Holy Spirit not too long ago, maybe about a month ago. And he's 9 years old, but he had such a sweet attentiveness to the message. We gave him a pen and a paper, and we said, you're kind of old enough. Why don't you try taking notes? And we saw him really, he's really taking notes. And, we kind of looked at what the notes were, and we're like, man, he's really paying attention. And Pastor Jesse was talking about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit and how it's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And after the service, he got up, and he was headed down to the altar. And we said, we thought, he was going to go see somebody or something. And we asked him, "And what are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm going to go pray to get filled." And we said, "Well, why is it that you want to get filled?" And he says, "Because I want to know Jesus. I want to know the Word." And we're like, out of the mouth of babes. I mean, there's no age restriction to this. And the Holy Spirit is just a tool. And as a bonus, we just found out last night, he's not here today, he's back in the city, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit last night. Praise the Lord. So not only was the Holy Spirit fallen here, he was also fallen back in Denver. Praise God. It really touches my heart. Oh. And sorry. It touches my heart because he was so... I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit will have to constrain me. The reasons I'm so touched thinking about him being filled with the Holy Spirit is I know he's got a lot of things going on in his life. And I know how much he needs the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was coming down here yesterday and I was so burdened for him. And I'm just so glad that the Lord answers prayer. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit's in his heart and that power's in him now. And that when he faces this world, he can do it with supernatural power, the power of the Holy Spirit living in him. Thank God. Whew. In John 15, verse 26, we read Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit again, and he calls him the Comforter here. And he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And we find that that's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit is to make Jesus Christ real to our lives. There are a lot of people here that are seeking the Holy Spirit, and I say you're seeking a good thing. But if you're seeking the Holy Spirit just for an experience or just to speak in other tongues, it's not for the right reason. Seek the Holy Spirit because you love Jesus Christ and you want a personal revelation of Him. It's precious to have the Holy Spirit, but that's what His job is to make Jesus Christ real to us. And as we seek Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will come in a divine way. He'll meet us where we are, and He'll make that known to us. He'll make, I was telling somebody was talking to me yesterday about what the Holy Spirit's like and what that infilling is like. And I know from personal experience, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, things, the way you look at the Word, it just changes. This Word becomes alive, it becomes real. It's not just words on a page. It becomes something to your life. The Holy Spirit takes the things of God and makes them yours. He takes this Word and He makes it so special to your life that it touches your heart in ways that you never could have imagined. The same passage even. Maybe you read it one way and the Holy Spirit will make it new to you in a different way. It's so vital that we have that power working in our lives. And not just one time and filling thing, but actively working in our lives. Active in our lives. Praise the Lord. But it's all about Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. As Jesus said, He shall testify of me. He shall testify of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is the messenger to teach us. So we read, as we mentioned, that this was the time of visitation. Our scripture in Luke was the time of visitation to the Jews, but today was the time of our visitation. This word visitation in the lexicon says that the act by which God looks into and searches out the ways, deeds, and character of men in order to adjudge them, their lot accordingly, whether it be joyous or sad. Now, if we're a Christian tonight, if you've given your heart to the Lord, you do not have to worry about the Lord judging you for sin. That's gone. He who is born of Christ does not commit sin. It's gone. It's dead. Your sins have been paid. We talked about a young brother who maybe might not even say he's a Christian anymore, but I say if he's given his heart to the Lord, that seed of Jesus Christ remains in him, and he is heaven-bound, whether he says he believes it anymore or not. That seed is in him. And that cannot change. So what does the Lord judge us for? Well, He judges us for a reward. We know the visual that the Lord gives us in Revelation of Jesus walking through the candlesticks, the churches, judging them, rewarding them according to their deeds. And the Lord is doing this now. He looks at us now and is judging, how much of this are you going to receive? How deeply in love are you going to fall in love with Jesus Christ? That's what this age is about, is falling deeply in love with Him. Allowing this to become a love letter to your life. Allowing Him to woo you. And it's not hard. He loves you more than anybody could ever love you. You know, I look into some of these lives and I know of many people who might not have that love naturally in their family, their background or whatever. Maybe their parents don't love them in the right way. Maybe that's just not there. But I tell you, Jesus Christ loves you than more than your parents, a sibling, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, anybody could ever love you. No greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. That's the love that Jesus Christ loves you with. That's the love. So we're being judged for a reward. It's only positive from here. It's just how much are you willing to take? Back in our text, we think about Jesus as he gives a speech. He's weeping over this city of people, this nation that's rejected him as their savior. And we just that image just jumps out in my brain. Jesus Christ weeping for a people who, in less than a week,
would be nailing him to a tree because they rejected him. And he's weeping not for himself, but for them. He knew that he would go to that cross, but he knew still that there were those that would just push that aside. They would think, that's not important, that's not for me. He's just nobody. He's just a guy that's blaspheming, thinking he's Jesus. But the Lord laid down his life willingly for those people that nailed him to that tree. I think about the great love that filled the heart of our Savior and that was poured out on that day. But rejection, I will tell you, is no small thing. Rejection is a big deal. As we see here, this rejection resulted in a great day of destruction for this city. And the destruction that Jesus was talking about here was fulfilled in 71 AD as Titus invaded the city. This destruction came among the city. And it was all because they had rejected Jesus. Rejection is a big deal. I think some people can kind of put, they know what the Lord is offering to them. They know this thing of salvation. But maybe they think that they can do it in their own work, so they don't think that it's as important as it is. Or maybe they don't think that they need it. That's a big deal. Jesus Christ gave us everything. And to push that aside is an insult to the Father. It's the biggest insult that we could ever throw at God, is to say, you know what, that wasn't good enough. I can do it better. That's insulting to him. He loves you. Don't take that for granted. But we see just in this day, and we see our day is a day that's waxing worse and worse. We've heard many say it. We see, I mean, just turn on the news and you'll see the evil of this day is waxing worse and worse. You know, we think about, and what's really, I think, telling as a sign of the times is not only is evil abounding, but it's becoming accepted. It's to the point that not only is evil accepted, but it's commended. I was watching this, even this this little video of this guy that did an experiment. He dressed up like a homeless man, and he was wanting to see what he would write on a sign to get people to give money to him. And so that first he wrote on his sign, I need money for drugs, for alcohol, et cetera, and put it there. And that you see these people coming by and they're giving him money, saying, stay high, man. And yeah, you know, have a good time. They're giving him money. So then, you know, he does that for an hour and you just see dozens of people coming by giving him money. Well, then he decides, he flips a sign over, he writes on it, homeless father in need of help, need money for food for me and my daughter. And there's a girl that was with him, shabbily dressed, and they're just torn up. And I watch this video and thousands of people are walking by this man, not giving him the time of day. That's the condition of our world. The condition of our world, we're commending things that we should not. They're commending things that are evil. And they don't even recognize the importance of family and providing for those that we love. Our world is completely turned upside down with what is said to be right and what is said to be wrong. But the Lord told us that this would happen. In Romans 8:21 through 32, we read that Paul talks about this decay as men walk away from the things of God, how the enemy will twist their minds to the point that they think that even things that are evil, their conscience is so seared, it says, that even things that are morally wrong, they will commend as being good. So it's no surprise that our world is headed in this direction. The Lord tells us these things. But, so, you know, and my heart goes out to that. You know, as we see things come into pass, you know, and we see this departure from the things of God and the world, my heart goes out. My heart really breaks for the world. But really what breaks my heart is to see Christians reacting to this and to see Christian lives destroyed by getting caught up in those things. You know, the Lord told us, when we see these things coming to pass, look up. He didn't say when we see these things coming to pass, petition and try to stop it and do your best to turn everything around. He said, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. As Christians, this is what we need to be focused on, not these things that are going around. This world, you know, as we heard, this heaven and this earth will pass away, but the things of God will endure forever. And those are the things that we need to be focused on in this time. So don't be distracted by these things that are going on.
God said that they'll happen. Get excited. Jesus is coming. And he's about here. In Luke, we also read that because they rejected him, we already talked about that, that there was destruction to come. But so we know that just in Israel's day, this day of rejection caused a day of great destruction. And we know that that day is coming upon our world today. I've heard it said like a great clock that's winding down. I don't know if any of you have seen like a wind-up clock, something you have to wind it up with a key in order to get it to continue. But it's been said this world is like a clock that's winding down for which no man can find the key to wind it up again. In light of knowing this, I offer us some exhortations this evening. Don't get anxious. Don't get worried. Don't get stressed out about seeing these things. Get excited. You're about to see Jesus. I was listening to the radio the other night, and they were talking about, it's being said, if you knew for a fact that Jesus Christ was coming, this evening, maybe in 2 hours, if I said, Jesus Christ will be coming back in 2 hours, what would that do? Would you change anything? How would you be? Would you be excited? Would you be sad? Would you be worried that, things are going to wrap up? Would you want more time in this world? Or would you be like somebody who's about to see a spouse that's been away? Since I've been married to my spouse, there have been times that we've been separated, on a business trip or whatever. And boy, I can't wait to see her. I just can't wait to see her. It just thrills my heart to know that I'm going to be able to see her. And as I was listening to this thing on the radio and they were talking about it, I was thinking, I'm kind of excited to see Jesus. I kind of want to see him. I'm thrilled to see him. I can't wait to see him. There's this joy that's just bubbling up in my heart. And we're going to see him so soon. It makes my heart so excited. And that's even typical in children. I was talking to my wife about her other nephew. When he was just 3 years old, they were just sitting around, I guess. I wasn't there. We didn't quite know each other. But he was 3 years old, and he said, "You know what, Auntie?" Talking to my wife, "You know what, Auntie? I want to see Jesus. I just want to see him. I just want to be with him." At 3 years old, that excitement is there. He just loved Jesus that much. Do we have that same childlike excitement about seeing our Savior? Do you find yourself just wondering what it's going to be like? Just imagining, I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see him and put my arms around him and say, "Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for coming into my mind and giving me peace. Thank you for giving me hope in my heart. And thank you for this eternity that we're going to spend together." I can't wait to wrap my arms around my Savior and say, "Thank you, Jesus." It's coming soon. I just think about that, just like that time for embrace. There will be times that I'll be around the house and I'll be doing something, maybe cleaning the dishes or folding laundry, or maybe I'm working on the computer or something, and my wife will come up to me and she'll just stand there. And I know she just wants me to embrace her. She just wants a hug. And whatever I'm doing, I just put it down. I just drop it, put it aside, and I give her a big hug because I know that that's what she wants. I can't wait. I can't wait until that day when Jesus is that one who comes and he stands right there and he just waits for me to wrap my arms around him. But I'll tell you, if there's something that you're doing, you better be ready to put it down, because that moment that he comes and that moment that you see him, it's only going to be for a moment. And if you're not willing to put that down, you might just miss it. My wife and I were looking at some fireworks the other day, and we were right there. We were right there. We had great seats to these fireworks. And there was a boy there, and these fireworks are just going off. And he's looking at a cell phone. He's got his head down on this phone. And this spectacular display is going on, and he's just looking down. And I wonder how many of us, when the Lord comes, will miss it because we're looking down at whatever it is. Maybe it is a phone. Maybe it's some work or something that we're not willing to put down. I read something that Sister Bodhi wrote, and she said, "Wear the things of this world as a loose garment, ready to be cast off at the moment when Jesus Christ calls you home." That's the attitude that we need to have. Hold these things loose. They're temporary. If there's anything that you would be willing to hold on, Jesus, just 1 second, let me take care of this, you'll miss it. Don't let anything be that important except for Jesus Christ in your life. I think about, there was a story too about this farmer, Papa used to tell it, about they were having this church, you know, this church meeting and in this old country church, and the pastor says, "You know what, anybody who wants to see Jesus, stand up right now," and the whole church jumps to his feet. And there's one farmer that's sitting there, and he's just still sitting. And the preacher's kind of perplexed, and he walks down to him, and he says, "Well, don't you want to see the Lord?" And he says, "Well, sure I do." And he says, "Well, why didn't you stand up?" And he said, "Well, I thought you were getting a group to go see him tonight." I think a lot of people want to see Jesus tomorrow. They want to see him later. They want to see him after something has happened, after maybe I graduate school, or after the summer's over, or after, you know, I get this job or start driving or whatever. There's nothing so important as that appearing. Then there's nothing that's going to be so satisfying as seeing him. And the attitude in our heart, I want to see him right now. I want to drop everything that I'm doing, and I want to see him right now. But still there are some that'll say, "You know what, I'll follow the Lord when my friends do. Or I'll follow when my family goes, when my brother does, or when my sister does, when my spouse does." And I say, if the Lord's tugging on your heart, don't put it off because your friends aren't going to go. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, you yield to him now. He might not be dealing with you when your friends are starting to yield. And you know what? I've found when you make that stand in your own life, you'll start bringing along those people with you. When you start making that personal stand that, you know what, I'm going to go with Jesus, and it means being alone, the people around you, they see that, and they say, "You know what, I want that too," and they'll follow. But be willing to be alone with Jesus. You know, I think about this. Are you as willing to be alone for Jesus as Jesus was willing to go alone for you? Think about that. Jesus was willing to face... I think about his prayer in the garden, that exhortation prayer. His disciples had to stay back. That was something that he had to do alone. And it was so grievous to him that he sweat great drops of blood. His heart ruptured within him. That's how much love he had. That's how alone he was. You know, I think about when he was on that cross and he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That is an alone that we will never have to experience because Jesus Christ endured that level of alone. So if we think it's hard to go without our friends or to go without our family, just think, you're not going alone, you're going with Jesus. Are you willing to be as alone with him as he was willing to go alone for you? In Luke 15, in verse 4, Jesus told a parable about a man having 100 sheep. But when he lost one of them, he left the 99 and he went after that one. That's what Jesus did for us. You know, we were that one sheep that went astray. He's my Savior. He found me. He went after me, praise the Lord. It was for everybody, but you know what? It's so personal in my life, it was just for me. And you better know in your life, if you were the only one, he would have done the same thing. He loved you individually that much. So make that personal to your life. But still there are some that says that looks at somebody that's yielding to the Lord and you say, "Well, you know what, that just doesn't look satisfying to me. That doesn't look like that lifestyle is appealing or satisfying." I can tell you, in my experience, I've been here 27 years, the only times that I regret in my life are the times that I haven't yielded to the Lord. The only times that I've found satisfaction in my life are the times that I have yielded to him. That's what satisfies your life. And you have a good time. The things that we that fall away from our life are not worthy to be compared with the things that the Lord prepared for us, even to experience in the natural sense. The joys that we experience in just going with him. So make a decision for Christ. There are some that would say, "You know what, that's not for me. I couldn't live a life for Christ. I could never be in the bride of Christ. You know, that's just not something that I could ever see myself doing." And to those I would say, "You know what, that's as silly as an acorn saying, 'You know what, I could never be an oak tree.' That's silly. If you saw an acorn, well, that's what they grow into is oak trees. You know, if you plant a, it's not going to come up as a grain of corn or something like, as an ear of corn or something. That grows into an oak. That same seed, Jesus, the life of Jesus Christ, that seed was planted in you. And that full potential, just like that full potential for that oak tree is in that acorn, that full potential for an overcoming life is in you because of the life of Jesus Christ that's in your heart. Believe it. You can be the bride of Christ. There's nothing that's stopping that except the things that would come against your life. But the Lord has made us more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. And He has that for us. But and Pastor Jesse kind of talked about this today, and you know, that was something that was on my heart too, about people that want to look at their environment or their situation and think, well, you know, I could run with the Lord if it wasn't for this thing or that thing in my life, or if I was just a little more this way, or if I was just a little that, or if my family was different, or if I had a different job or a different upbringing, or if my dad was this way or that way. But I say the Lord foreknew, whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The Lord knew you in ages past, and He knew, He gave you the family that you needed. He gave you the situation, the upbringing, the location that you needed to win Christ. The full provision's been made. And you know what? Those things that I might say, you know, if I was a little bit more like this, or if I'm a little bit more like that, there'd be no way that you'd ever be able to run and fully win if you had those things. The Lord knew what it would take in your life for you to be a full overcomer. And still there are some that that would say, you know, okay, well, maybe I had a chance, but I've missed that chance. I've screwed it up too much. I've made too many bad decisions. I've made too many bad choices. Just look at my life. It's just a wreck. You know what? The enemy tried to get me in that. There was a time in my life that I questioned, you know, is there a God? Is this real? Is this something that's just a, you know, if there is a God, I've screwed it up. I've blown it. He's given up on me. But I would say if that's in your mind right now, if the enemy's trying to come at you with that, I would say if you're here tonight and you're hearing this message, this exhortation to yield your life to Christ and to fully submit to be that bride, you have not missed it. You have not missed it because the Lord does not tease you. And if you're hearing this, it's not the Lord dangling something in front of you that you could never have. He has that for you. You haven't missed it. Absolutely. There was a dream I had a couple, maybe about a month ago. And it was about, there were all these rings. There were these jewels, these rings in front of me. And I was looking and I was trying to choose one. And, you know, I was like, man, these are all really pretty. These are all really pretty. And, you know, that one's really cool, and that one's really cool. And as I would kind of look at one of them would be taken away. And then, you know, well, the rest of them are pretty cool. So, and then one of them would be taken away. And eventually all the choices, you know, kind of got off the table because I didn't make a choice. And I was left with just a few choices that weren't as extravagant. And the Lord witnessed to my heart in that is make a choice. Now is the time of our visitation. Now is the time to make a choice for Him. And if we wait, if we keep putting it off, we might just miss the very best that Jesus Christ has for our lives. I give a testimony to you guys about last night, an experience that I had. After Pastor Jesse's message, that really resonated with me. One of the things he was talking about was people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, who maybe haven't talked in a while. He said 12 months. I resonated with that. Because, and it's hard for me to, I guess, admit this as somebody who's been in the church for so long. I was filled maybe 15, 16 years old. And it's probably been about, it had been about 10 years since I had spoken. Maybe I was afraid, maybe something like that. I'm not sure, but it had been something that wasn't in my life. And when Pastor Jesse brought that forth, that's for me, that's for us, that's something that the Lord's given us, you know, the Lord just struck me. What's holding you back from that? It's yours, just take it. And I came down here and I thought, you know what, Lord, I'm not leaving this spot until you give me that back. And He had it. I mean, it's not that I was begging Him to give it, it was just until I take it. I'm not leaving until I take it. And it wasn't a couple short moments. Bang, that spirit language came forth again. And it was like a gush or gushing forth. I sat there for maybe an hour just speaking. I couldn't speak English. It was such a precious time that the Lord had, and I know that He just had me in exhortation, and it was just 10 years of being bottled up, but it was just coming out, and it wasn't going to stop. And I know that there are some here that maybe that's your testimony. Maybe it has been a year. Maybe it's been longer that you've really had that full infilling, that you've had the Lord take over your mouth to the point that it's just pouring out of you, that where you're having that intimate time of just love language with Him. I would encourage you, don't wait. It's there for you. Just take it. He's given it. And if you've never had that before, seek it. The Lord, it's just there for you to take. Praise the Lord. In closing, I'll make a couple of last points here. Psalms 95, 7 and 8 says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart." Do you hear His voice tonight? Do you hear the Lord drawing your heart? Drawing your heart to Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? Then I would encourage you, do not harden your heart. Be tender to Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to have full reign in your life, to give you a love for Jesus Christ that only He can. Matthew 26, 11 says, For ye have the poor always with you, but Me you have not always." It's a precious thing to serve. But you know what? If I married my wife just to serve me, or if I married her just so that I could serve her, that would not be a healthy marriage. I married her because I was looking for an equal. I was looking for somebody to sit at my right hand and to be equal with me, somebody that could encourage me in the Lord, somebody that could encourage me on. Jesus Christ is looking for the same thing. He's looking for that equal. He's not looking for somebody who... Service is a wonderful thing. I serve my wife. I do nice things for her. But the Lord, He's looking for that, but He's looking for somebody to be passionately in love with. So in closing, I would just exhort us with this. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, we read, Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." The Lord is here. The Lord is here right now. And He's visiting with you. This is the time of our visitation. Make a move. If He's calling your heart, if He's drawing your heart, don't keep Him waiting. Make a move for Him. Make a move for Him. Come down. Make a move for Him. Make a move for Him right now. If you feel that tugging on your heart, come down and make a move for Jesus Christ.